want something more? More meaningful moments, opportunities, deeper relationships, and memorable experiences? Do you want to make a difference? If you said yes, a career in real estate could be the opportunity you're looking for. Guiding people through one of the most important decisions they'll ever make, the purchase or sale of their home, can be both rewarding and lucrative. Exit Realty's revolutionary compensation model, training, and technology provides you with the tools you need to start and build your successful real estate career. Call me today, Robin Collins, R-O-B-Y-N Collins with Red Robin Homes at 843-557-5003. Again, that's 843-557-5003. Or visit me at redrobinhomes.com/joinexit and make your exit today.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of Exit Strategies Radio Show. I am your host, Colwin J. Millett, broker and owner of Exit Realty Low Country Group in beautiful North Charleston, South Carolina. If this is your first time listening to this show, you, sir or ma'am, are in for a treat because our mission here is very simple. That is to empower our community through financial literacy and real estate education. We're legacy building. That is what we do. So if you're out there making things happen with your family for the generations yet to come, you know, our word teaches us to leave a legacy, to leave an inheritance for our children, and so forth and so on. We want you to put a hashtag on that thing that says that you are legacy building, because that is what you are doing. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Anchor FM. You can also find us on Instagram at our website, ExitStrategiesRadioShow.com. You can catch us in a number of different places on your favorite podcast applications. We appreciate you listening. Please share this content with your friends, your family, your coworkers, even those in your groups, your church groups, etc., guys. But sometimes the message and the word that we are speaking here today is for you. Sometimes it is for someone else that you know. Again, we appreciate you listening. Let's get started. Good morning, good morning, and good morning, listeners. Hey, guys, it is a beautiful day. We are fortunate. If you're listening to this show, that means that today you are pulling them versus pushing them. And we want to be excited in that moment. Because if you're pushing them and you listen to this show, then look here, the world is a completely different place. So look, guys, welcome to Exit Strategies Radio Show. Hey, I am your host, Colwin J. Millett, broker and owner of Exit Realty Low Country Group in beautiful North Charleston, South Carolina. Guys, as you can tell, you know we like to have fun. We got to give a huge shout out to our listeners. You all rock. I've said this to you repeatedly. I appreciate when you all reach out, when you catch me in the streets, because y'all know what I do. I'm out here in the streets with you. Y'all are telling us how you like the show, and we really appreciate it. We've been taking that feedback, and we have been going out and getting the best guests to give us the best information so you can have your best results and live your best life. That is what we do here. So today is no different. All right. So look, we got somebody today, and I'm going to call her a matchmaker, but I'm going to let her tell her story today. We have none other than Angie Akee. She's the founder of Ohana Investment Partners. Angie, how are you doing today?
I am excellent, Corwin. Thank you so much for asking, and thank you for having me on the show.
You are more than welcome. So, Angie, I want you to tell our listeners who you are and what you do.
Okay. As you mentioned, I am the owner and founder of Ohana Investment Partners. So I help people passively invest in real estate. And most of how I do that is through real estate syndications. So if you're not familiar with real estate syndications, it is really a boiled down way to explain it, or a simple way is it's almost like crowdfunding. So it's a lot of investors coming together and pooling their money or our money to buy an asset. And often that is a larger asset, a commercial asset, such as an apartment building or a portfolio, a short-term rental portfolio, sometimes land or a land development. So typically within the commercial space, but it allows people to to invest passively, truly passively, because people always ask, is it really passive? Because people throw that around all the time. It is truly passive so that you can enjoy doing whatever it is you love or want to do, whether that is being a real estate agent, whether that is staying home with the kids, whether that is sitting on the beach with your feet up, whatever it is you want to do, you can make money in passive real estate investments while you do that.
So, you know, I liken that behind the curtain in the studio talking to being a matchmaker. So essentially what it is that you do, you take people and match them together. So crowdsourcing, crowdfunding, and pull these people together to invest in a particular asset and for them to earn a return. And it's passive because, and for our listeners, so you all understand, it's passive because you're not choosing the asset. You're not doing any of the work on it. You're just investing your money and getting a return on your money. So that is like, you know, that's like, man, look here, let's get the bread. Let's put butter on it. That's like just putting butter on the bread right there. That should be relatively simple, right?
It is. It's amazing. And it's quite frankly, not something I uncovered until 40 or just a little bit before. I wish I had learned about it in my 20s, but it's a really great way to grow your wealth. And so my job is to, I find and vet operators that are running and operating these assets and doing the acquisitions. And sometimes I'll do the due diligence along with them. But so I'm vetting the operators, I'm vetting the offering or the deal, and then I'm bringing it to my investors, either as a co-GP, which is a general partner, or a fund manager. And then you as an investor or a limited partner are investing into this asset or this offering. And basically, if you think about it, you're investing into an LLC or an entity. So then you are an owner. You truly are an owner of part of the asset. And yes, I like to say we do all the work and you get all the benefits as an investor.
So you've been doing this now. You said corporate America, you left there. So obviously you took tools, you know, things you learned in that environment, that structure, and brought them across into, you know, your own company. How long, you know, have you been doing this? And then the second part of that question is, like, what types of assets do you focus on? What class?
So great question. When I left corporate America, I got into real estate investing, but I did not get into the commercial or the syndication space. I actually got into wholesaling single family houses. Oh, I'm not sure if your audience knows what that is. But for those of you that are listening, if you don't, in essence, it's getting a property or single family house under contract. And then finding an end buyer for it and assigning the contract. So I did that for quite a while. It's a really active way to make money in real estate investing. So I decided I wanted to get into the multifamily commercial syndication space. So I did that. I've been doing that for about a year and a half now.
So I got to give a footnote on the wholesaling piece. If you're listening to this show and you're in the state of South Carolina, wholesaling in South Carolina is an activity that requires a real estate license. Yeah. It requires a real estate license if you're wholesaling in the state of South Carolina. That is my show disclaimer. Y'all heard it. There you go. So, Angie, you say you like to focus on multifamily properties. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. And obviously, we've had guests that we've spoken to about syndication and stuff. So there's different classes of assets. You know, you got the larger apartment communities that's, you know, 150, 250 and up units. You got some or 500 and up sometimes. I mean, there's large developments. And then you have some that are kind of what we say entry level, 30 to 50 units. But then you have the mids that are like maybe the 75 to 150 or so. Which particular, you know, realm do you like to focus in? And then if you don't mind, give us an example of what kind of return you're seeing on the particular class that we're talking about.
Yeah, so I would say the multifamily that I'm focusing on is more around 150 units plus, because in order to syndicate it and it to make sense for all parties, right? So it's got to make sense for the investors. It's got to make sense for the general partners. In order for that to happen, often it has to be a larger asset. I'm not saying that you cannot syndicate a smaller asset, so please don't send any mail our way. You absolutely can. But typically what I see in the offerings I roll out are larger assets, 150 units, give or take, up. I have also syndicated, I'm a fund manager for a short-term rental fund as well. So that's a little bit different. So that's 75 to 100 plus single family, almost like Airbnb or short-term rentals. So both of those, I would say, are, you know, we're looking at some other things as well. For my investors, my goal is to, if an investor comes to me and is working with me, my goal is to bring various asset types, also potentially various asset classes, but various asset types. So someone may want multifamily or a short-term rental or a debt fund and things like that, so that they can diversify within the offerings that I'm providing. So that's my goal. So we don't, where we don't necessarily focus on a specific asset type, although we do like multifamily, we do focus in the Southeast United States and the Sunbelt states. That's it. So.
Okay. Okay.
We follow so,
interesting. I like that. I like that. And again, what areas you focus in again?
The Southeast United States and the Sunbelt states. So basically Southeast, Arizona, Texas. When you look at the migration patterns, you look at the, you can look at moving companies and van lines and where they're going. Everyone is pouring south.
That is
so
true.
So it's important because you want to invest where people are going, where the jobs are going. And so those are some of the things we do during due diligence. Just make sure that there's job growth and population growth.
Interesting. So for our listeners, let's boil this down a little bit. But for our listeners, where people are going is where you want to be.
Yes.
That's it. Where people are going. If they're migrating there, or I mean, even you want a job market, because if you're handling a rental, you know, people that are retiring may not retire to rent. They may retire to buy. But if you're in a marketplace where there's heavy job opportunities, expansion, industry, you know, all those things going, then it makes sense to own an asset in that type of market, because you know you'll have a feeder. You'll have people coming in that need to go to work. They'll rent and they'll stay with you for a while, possibly before they buy. But you got to have rentals and stuff available because there's a continuous flow of people coming in. That is awesome, Angie. That is awesome.
Yes. And you asked about returns. So it depends on the offering. So that is my disclaimer. So as Corwin had a disclaimer, right? So do not wholesale in South Carolina without a license. I am saying every offering has different returns. So it does vary. It varies on a lot of different things. But ballpark, if you're looking for an average annual return of 16 to 18%, that's what you're going to see. Our goal is to provide, now for shorter term investments, this does not qualify, right? So it's kind of an outlier. But for longer investments, so 4, 5, 6 years, our goal is to double our investors' money within that time frame or come really darn close to it. So that's when you're looking at something called an equity multiple. And I don't want to go down the terminology rabbit hole. But if you see something and it says 2x or 1.9x, that in essence mean you're going to 2x or 1.9 times your money. So if you're investing 100,000 and it's 1.9x, you're going to get 190,000 back at the end of that hold period. So the average hold period for a lot of syndications is 5 years. So those are just some of the key. There's a lot more, a lot other different things that you can look at as well. But those are some key kind of basic things you can look at. What is my average annual return and what am I doing with my money? Am I doubling it or am I coming really darn close to it?
So, you know, Angie, I almost fell out my chair over here a moment ago when you said 16 to 18%. I mean, most investors, they're looking at projects with a cap rate 6 to 8%. I mean, went through a period, you know, some years ago, when you were lucky to have 4 to 5. Just the margins have been restricted so much. So now we're talking about a return on investment that large. And essentially, like you said, the, you know, 1.9 times or whatever times in this 5 year time period, man, you can't put your money in the bank and get it to do that.
You don't put your money in the bank.
Exactly.
You're losing money if you're putting money in the bank.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, granted, if you're lucky enough, you may be able to take that much money, either play the lottery, go to the crap tables, but you don't want to put it all down at one time. But
no, you can also just drive down the street and throw it out the window.
Hold on, like this.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Yeah, just hold on, just open the window up, hold on, just let it go.
Yeah, just do it. Same thing. Same thing as the craps table or the lottery, right?
So people are protected in this. Obviously, you own a portion of the asset. So therefore, you always have the asset, regardless, to be blunt, you have your interest in the asset regardless of the return, correct?
You have your interest in the asset regardless of the return, but just like any investment. So here's another disclaimer for me, right? So just like any investment, it is that. It is simply that. It is an investment. Every investment has a risk. So your risk is losing your capital that you're putting into the investment. That is a risk. Now, does that happen every day? No, but it's still an investment and it's a risk. So I always remind investors, you have to weigh all risk versus potential reward, because it is that, right? We're looking at performance. We're looking at projected returns, and they're projected, and we do the best projection we can, but it is still an investment. But yes, you are backed by a hard asset. So that's one of the things I talk to my investors about. You know, people, especially after last year with the stock market roller coaster, it was a lot, right? People are like, woo, right? Hands up, hands down. People are getting nauseous. But this, with real estate investing, it's backed by a hard asset. And what's wonderful about commercial real estate investing is that you can force appreciation. So for your listeners, if you're not familiar with that, if you're increasing your revenue or you're decreasing your expenses, you're affecting your net operating income. And if you take your net operating income and divide that by your cap rate, again, I don't want to go by crazy terminology, but you are increasing the value of your asset. And you can do that very quickly and simply by doing something like raising rents to market rents, providing covered parking, valet garbage service. And if you've never lived in an apartment, you're paying for valet garbage service because you don't have to walk your garbage to the dumpster. It's worth it, right? Pet fees, late fees, things like that. Low flow toilets. You're reducing your water bill, LED lights. So it sounds really simple, but you can really increase the value of your asset just by doing these little things and managing the asset well.
It's so interesting. I'm always, we do commercial projects and work in this arena more and more. You know, it's always funny to me. So I'm going to give you two different things. I had a client years ago buying a residential property. I was assisting. He actually was regional sales manager for a company that sold RVs. And he, we were in this process. I think it was like 45 days or something. It was taking to close this transaction. He looked at me, said, Cole, and this doesn't make any sense to me. He said, look, he said, I can sell he was buying like a 200 and some at the time, 200 some odd, right? A $300,000 property. This was years ago. That same property is worth about five or six now. But he said, hey, I can sell a $400,000 motor coach and I can finance it and close that deal in 96 hours and 4 days, in 72 to 96 hours, I'm done, right? People gone, they done drove off. That's it. They finished. Why does it take you so long? But then for our listeners, we're going to flip on the commercial side. You can do a commercial deal. Once you got all the numbers and stuff, put that in front of, if you got a lender or whatever, you can knock out a commercial deal in, Angie, about what time period?
Well,
minus diligence. Let me say.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Minus diligence.
I was going to say, when you're doing your due diligence, you don't want to rush through that. I've been there. I've done that. Don't rush through that. Do not.
Yeah.
If there's a takeaway, do not rush through due diligence. It will bite you every single time. And due diligence usually takes 60 to 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
As you're pouring through not only the units and the asset, but all the financial reports. So it's super fun, but it's really, really important. But yeah, I mean, once you're through due diligence, everything's pretty much ready to go. It's ready to roll.
Exactly. So. And, diligence is always important. You want to make sure you got time for inspections, make sure you understand what you're getting your arms around. I have the working with a consultant with a client now that purchased an asset prior to, me and the being around before they knew me. And long story short, that asset has a significant amount of issues and problems that I'm not sure they knew. I don't know what diligence they performed up front, but I'm just not sold that they knew. And you want that time to make sure that you have an opportunity to verify the condition of the property, what things you have to be done, and make sure you, and especially when you're investing on, like, for example, you're investing in a new market or a new area, you know, you're also missing, or you don't want to miss, if there's certain rules for the municipality. Maybe they got something, you know, that, okay, well, look, if you do X amount of work on this property, you're going to have to bring everything up to current code, which could be a major upset in your budget if it was not planned, right?
It can. I have an investor. She invested in another syndication. She came to my networking event last night, and she was on the road today to meet other investors, and they went to an asset that is not performing. It is not one of mine. And like, that's my disclaimer too. But anyway, they weren't aware of that. And I think she said they're having to redo all the stairwells in 18 buildings. And it may seem, if you're like, oh yeah, that doesn't seem like a lot. That's a lot of money. And that's a lot of capital expenditures being poured into your assets. And that's eroding your bottom line. So they're trying to figure out how to save this asset from itself, right? Because the asset should pay for itself. And that's the beauty, supposedly, of commercial real estate investing. So you want to make sure that the asset's paying for itself. You understand the municipalities, the codes, anything like that.
Absolutely. Exactly. And that's very, very important, because, again, that does happen quite often. You know, mm-hmm. You have something, you know, have a property. I mean, you know, we've over the years have encountered properties that have old copper piping and the water system arose that copper. Cast iron. My apologies. We got that too. Yeah. But the water system will erode the copper and create pinholes. You got leaks, cast iron drain lines. Those erode. They cave in, backs the plumbing up. On making sure you understand those things. And what happens sometimes, which we've seen, is people will tie in new plumbing to old. Mm-hmm. And then you have a major issue because that wasn't supposed to be done. But they did it to save money. And in turn, later when it collapses or fails, it creates a much larger issue to be corrected.
Absolutely. And that's one of, for the new owner.
Exactly. For the new owner.
For the new owner. Yeah.
Because the old owner is like this, like, peace.
I'm out. Yeah. But I mean, you have to, right? So we're in the Southeast. We've unfortunately had a large run of hurricanes. You have to know. I'm sitting in Florida, right? Everyone's insurance is skyrocketing. So you have to plan for that. If you're buying an asset, you have to plan for that and know. You have to know what your taxes are going to look like, mm-hmm. right? Are your taxes resetting? Are they based on the new purchase price? Are they only incremental? What is it? Mm-hmm. So you have to know all that. And some of the things you can't necessarily base off the old numbers, you have to guesstimate what it's going to be moving forward. And so it's really important to know all those things.
And, you know, you touched on something that we have not had a lot of dialogue about recently here on the show, but we will have going forward, which is insurance costs. Coastal areas are being, I mean, it's ugly with insurance. I mean, I've had a number of conversations with professionals, and I know that, matter of fact, there was some information shared that I was watching a few weeks ago. I'm out of Florida as to what you guys, your state is trying to do to mitigate those costs, but condos are getting pummeled with this. I mean, you've had issues with, you know, condo collapse, building collapses, failures and stuff. Complicate that with being in quote unquote Hurricane Alley. And it looks on paper and feels unreasonable what is happening in the insurance realm with that type of property. So if you're looking to buy that type of asset, a building, a condo building, I mean, it could be real, real, real ugly. Right.
Yeah. You need to know what you're getting into. You need to know what area you're in. We own a coastal condo and we just paid for concrete restoration. So we got assessed for that. And then we had hurricane. Then we had hurricane again. So we're going to get assessed for that. And mm-hmm. then, oh, by the way, we had damaged interior. And oh, by the way, don't get me started on insurance, because whatever insurance you think covers doesn't want to cover it. So now we're renovating that, right? So you have to plan. And that's something really important too, is when you're doing your due diligence as an investor, because I said it was 100% passive, and it is once you're invested. But it's still important as a passive investor to do your own due diligence on the front end. So you want to look at stuff, for instance, like, do they have a CapEx budget, capital expenditures? Do they have reserves? Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at an offering and there are no reserves, run away, because something is going to go wrong. Something. Mm-hmm. They're going to need reserves for something. So you want to make sure there's reserves, right? You want to understand what the business plan is and what the value is. You know, and you talked, Corwin, sometimes you guys forget about the value add. I know a lot of the listeners are residential, right? But there's value add is huge in commercial real estate investing. So what is the value add? What is the plan? What is the business plan? How are you going to force appreciation? How are you going to make money with this asset?
So Angie, you know, we have quickly gotten to the end of today's show, but there's a couple more things I got for you. So number one, how can our listeners get in contact with you?
So you can go to ohanainvestmentpartners.com. That's my website. You can check out information there. You can sign up as an interested investor or for our general newsletter list there. And you can also email me at Angie@ohanainvestmentpartners.com.
Awesome. So I got one more question for you. And I call this like the mic drop question. Like,
oh boy.
So if you could say, or anything that you could say to our listeners, like essentially what would it be that for you, if it was something that you said this early, if you knew some of this stuff in your 20s, but what is that thing that if you knew this before would have changed the trajectory of everything? What is that you could leave as a nugget for our listeners?
So I have two. One's more personal, one's more financial. So we'll go with the financial one first, is take action. You should take control of your future. And that's investing in things you know and understand. So maybe that is opening a self-directed IRA or retirement account or investing with your cash. I would have started passively investing in real estate before I was 20. Because that snowballs very quickly. Your 100 grand turns into, call it 200 grand in 5 years. Uh-huh. Then you totally invest that 200 grand back. Another 5 years, it's 400. Uh-huh. It snowballs very, very quickly. So the sooner that you can start passively investing in real estate and snowballing that while you're focusing on what you know, what you love, whatever you want to do, uh-huh, the faster you can grow your wealth. So take action. Start doing that immediately. Sign up as an interested investor. There's no obligation. Start looking through the stuff and start asking questions. So that's a financial piece. The other piece, I'm a huge proponent of owning your dream. I did not realize that entrepreneurship was an option. I just grew up. I went to college. I got a sales job. I did really well in it. I built a career. I made a lot of money. I had no desire to do it. And I stumbled upon real estate investing and went, oh my gosh, this is why everything in corporate never made sense. I didn't know I could be an entrepreneur. And so I realized at the ripe age of 40 that I wasn't owning my own dream. So I turned my life completely on its head and went out on my own, started my own business. I've never looked back. I love what I do. I love helping and inspiring people. And most importantly, I love inspiring people to own their own dream, because we have one shot at this life. So make sure it is the life you desire and you deserve. And please inspire and help other people along the way.
Wow. That is profound. Listeners, look, y'all listen to this show. Y'all should have taken something out of that right there. We always talk about here, Angie, about a mindset, about having a mindset that is conducive for your success, meaning that you believe greater, you aspire to greater, therefore you will achieve greater. So thank you so much for dropping that jewel, that nugget for our listeners today. Angie, again, thank you so much for being our guest today. Thank you for being part of the Exit Strategies Radio Show family. I greatly appreciate it from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you for having me, Corwin. It was a pleasure.
You're welcome. For our listeners, guys, look, y'all got it. Y'all heard it. Y'all know what to do. Y'all better go apply. Y'all better go make some things happen. So as we close today, y'all know how I feel. Y'all know what I say. I'm gonna put them two things together and say it to you this way, which is, I love you, I love you, I love you. And we're gonna see you guys out there in those streets. Guys, that was a great show today. And we thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Exit Strategies Radio Show. My name is Corwin J. Millett. Yes, that is me. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for tuning in for today's episode. Exit Strategies is my baby.
It is how I give back to our community. It is how I foster goodwill, spread good news, and trustfully help you get great results. Guys, as I always say to you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And we're going to see you guys out there in the streets.